And this is Mike Quinsey, Connecting the Light. I do hope that you've all had a nice break and that it's fulfilled your expectations. I'm sure most of us use it as an opportunity to meet relatives or family that we haven't seen for a while, and it's a nice occasion to get together, and there really is a lovely feeling generated when families do this type of thing. There are, of course, people who have little or no family, but one hopes that somewhere down the line they perhaps have kindly neighbours or other friends who help to make their Christmas a little bit different for them, like everyone else's. So, here we are with one day left before we start thinking in terms of the new year, although I know many people have been getting excited already. I have before me the last message from Sheldon Nidal for this year, and as usual, they're always very encouraging, and without further ado, I will go straight into this message. And he mentions something that has come up before, which our own astronauts have seen from space, and that is that Mother Earth is a blue gem hanging in space. And he says it's orbited by a former battle planetoid that we call the Moon. Now, that's interesting. To my mind, it's only in recent years that this idea of a planet having been a former battle planetoid has come up, and my reference to that is with Nibiru, which at some time in the past was referred to as Planet X, and that is also claimed to be a battle planetoid. So that's interesting. We're learning more about the things around us, and I can fully accept that explanation for our moon. It's certainly odd in some ways. Sheldon's message goes on to say that the heavens sparkle with the multicoloured light show put on by this galaxy and her more distant cousins. And he tells us that we hail from the source of this light show, the plethora of stars that form this galaxy, and that many of their worlds are similar to ours, while others are really quite different. And from their viewpoint, our global society is swiftly adjusting to a growing new reality. And he says that they are thankful that this growth is enormously aided by the work that each of us contributes every day. And because of this, our world grows and glows more brightly each day. He says that as their ships circle our world, we look down and watch you perform acts of kindness, even in the face of war, pestilence, and catastrophic natural disasters, and that these acts of loving kindness show them the wondrous amounts of divine grace that abound in our realm. He goes on to talk about their mission, and also our progress, and he says that this grand, purposeful march of yours is most inspiring to the soul. Much has slipped away from you and now threatens you with possible dire consequences. However, you are quickly overcoming even these conditions. As we observe this, we are proud of what you have done. Many items remain on your agenda. Know, dear ones, that your abilities are being bolstered by the great invocations of heaven. He goes on to confirm that a new reality is descending like a heaven-sent dove to envelop you with immense love. We also see how each of you is similarly entwined in a process that is sloughing off your former limited conscious selves. Each of you is engaged in a slightly different stage of this procedure. The glorious colours and energies emanating from you are quite incredible. It produces a kaleidoscope of colours unlike any that we have seen before. This gives great promise for what now lies ahead. And what lies ahead of you is a final struggle with the dark. This set of events is now underway. The failed attempts of your last dark cabal to gain supremacy over you are the first strikes in this last act. This trial began when Atlantis, in the last throes of her existence, cast you into the amnesia-laden wonders of your present reality. Yet the intimations of who you truly were never left you. Throughout your ordeals, you kept sacred those dreams of a better world and a coming grand reunion with spirit. Now these dreams are becoming more lucid. The return of our ships in great numbers has encouraged you. The rapid growth in your knowledge has permitted you to forge a growing electronic society. This process opened up corresponding neural networks within you, and now your global computer network mirrors what lies inside of you. This urge to learn and to merge spiritually with each other has catapulted this time towards the great denouement long prophesied by heaven. As a result, the need for our formal appearance has now become quite essential. Goes on to say that first contact is the final point in this last act. Goes on to say that here the ascended masters can help, and their coming appearance is meant to signal that your time in limited consciousness is shortly to end. A series of final actions by your governments and you are all that remains. And then, talking of Mother Earth, it is said that this transformation also permits Mother Earth to vastly change herself. In her new mode, she can start to create an environment more suitable for your resurrected selves. This realm is multidimensional and allows you to move freely through the cosmos. When the restrictions of your present reality are removed, the enormous potential that you possess becomes quite evident. In this new realm, your life missions can be simply achieved, and the resulting wisdom made available to all. This ability to communicate easily and to work in harmony with creation is something that few of you have experienced fully. Her joys and her accompanying wisdom is the stuff that brings you unending ecstasy. This is the joy of heaven and the basis for the divine grace that constantly envelops your work. He says that this period of reality transition is presently marked by the rise of a new realm and the last attempts by the dark to maintain its fading dominion, and that they intend to see us through this period successfully and to prepare us for what is starting to manifest before us. They say, dwell not on the false power of the dark, but be in joyful anticipation and use your marvelous potential to manifest what you truly desire. This coming year holds much to be thankful for. It has most certainly the potential to deliver victoriously what we all desire. And then I will finally quote, as a group, you are unstoppable, an unstoppable force guided by the great light of heaven. And that's it. I'll leave Sheldon Nidal's message there and remind you, of course, that it is done on behalf of the spiritual hierarchy and the Galactic Federation. But there we are, so that's promising. I will now come, as I usually do, with a few extracts from my messages for the last week, which, because I have taken a week off, actually come down to two messages, and that is today's and the one I made a week ago. So I'll just go back to the period, or the day, 23rd of December, when Saint Germain came through, and he reminded us of the light of love, and said that this tugs at the heartstrings of the dark, and that they still have that light, no matter how dim it has become. And he went on to say that we will see people changing their allegiance and intimating that they would come out of the dark and over to the side of the light. And he said that truth about activities of the dark will come out into the open, and reminded us that we still need to be very compassionate when such things occur. He said it will get more chaotic before the final collapse, and the dark will be removed. There is no doubt about that. And also that the heavenly forces will intercede, as there must be an interim government to prepare the way for the announcement and details of first contact. He also talks of there being a great opening about to occur that will result in much of that which will fulfill our expectations. And he says that looking ahead, prophecies for the future will basically be the same. Now today I also had a message from Saint Germain, and he was talking about the mass consciousness and mentioning that it had reached new proportions. In fact, it had grown quite immensely. And he said this is a time for the light to go forging ahead, and that the pressure is growing on governments to be more truthful. And he reminded us that no matter what happens, that ascension is the ultimate goal, and it will take place. He also said that there will be a new dispensation that shall make clear the difference between man's word and God's word. And I will quote, "God does not teach hatred, killing, or any harmful act against another person. God is love, love, and more love." He also talks about the Master's returning, which is something mentioned quite often now, and in referring to the new year, 2006, says that it will be one of more activity, culminating in our success over the dark. And he says that we no longer have a need for the lessons of duality, and that we are returning to our rightful place as mighty angelic beings that we really are and will be again. And he reminded us that every soul is important through this process. So that's it. That's my comments on the two messages I have made over the last 2 weeks. I'll come now to what I call my UFO side, and never seems to be too much that is new that comes along, but I do have a print from off the email from India Daily Technology Team, and this goes back to the 19th of December, and they are talking in their article about electromagnetic projection, which has been reported by remote viewers. And it's very interesting. I've noticed that the Indian nation seems to be very much open to discussing the existence of ETs, and they certainly do not appear to have that government or official level the type of censorship that we seem to get in the West. And they're talking in this article about the Caribbean, and they say in the Caribbean it's dark near a swamp, and the extraterrestrial UFO is visible only in the mind projections of some remote viewers and mind projectors, and they are totally invisible in the physical 3D universe. In essence, they do not exist in the physical universe, but they can show up anywhere, anytime, through the spatial electromagnetic projections, and they watch the evolution of their kind on the Earth. They use stealth and electromagnetic projection technologies that is making terrestrial defense scientists totally shocked and awed. Apparently, they say that many remote viewers all over the world have reported these very advanced extraterrestrial UFOs from type forces civilizations. No radar or nothing in the physical world can ever see them. What makes all astonished is the fact that remote viewers from at least 12 nations have reported the sightings in their mental projections with precise descriptions of UFOs and the terrestrial or extraterrestrial beings, indeed. They are least interested in human civilization. They are super advanced and come from the hyperspace of higher dimension and quantum vacuum, and they can communicate by mental projections. It's mentioned that they travel by bending space and time, and they can move instantaneously to any hyperspace through these electromagnetic projections. And it mentions that the technology used by these extraterrestrial UFOs is totally unknown to terrestrial dimensional physics. So, here we have an article confirming that we have around us a number of UFOs that are invisible to our physical eyes that can be picked up by remote viewers, and that is very interesting. I do in fact have a psychic friend who is indeed very psychic, and I must say we have been out on trips before, and he has himself seen UFOs that are invisible to me in fields as we have gone by. So that capability perhaps exists in a number of people. Now, what I've been doing for the last week or two is looking back at some of my old flying saucer reviews to pick up some interesting sightings of UFOs and hopefully contact with ETs. And the latest copy I've looked at is one that goes back to May-June 1966, and it refers to an earlier report, of which I unfortunately haven't got the details, but it was about a man called Massey, and it was referred to as the Valensole case. And what happened was there was a follow-up, and they were talking to Massey and asking him about the ETs, and this is what he said, that he noted that on the faces of the two beings he saw, that the spot corresponding to what is in us, the mouth, was marked simply by a very small round patch, and that the part corresponding with what is in us, the lower jaw, was very sharp, almost pointed, and that when they spoke, the whole of that area remained absolutely motionless, and the hole did not open, and the jaw did not open. On the other hand, he did notice changes of expression on their faces due to slight movement of the skin, and he even says that these expressions were very comprehensible and very eloquent. According to him, the two faces at times expressed mockery, but always benevolent. In the course of his contact, Massey said that he saw two instruments, and the first one, held by one of the ETs, was pointed in his direction, and whatever happened when that was used, it paralyzed him. And Massey thinks that the entity took it from his belt, placed on his right-hand side, simply because he wore one on the right-hand side, which sounds reasonable. But apparently they had a second instrument which they did not use. Massey thought it was a weapon, and he said the second instrument was much bigger than the first. And he thought to himself, if they had used the big one, I wonder what would have happened. With that, they can stop any army. And when the interviewer asked him why he thought it was a weapon, he was surprised and agreed that, after all, he knew nothing about it and that it was clearly only an impression that he gained. So there we are. Sorry I haven't got the full details there of that one, but the comments he's made, I think, are interesting. Now, on that particular issue of the Flying Saucer Review, they did a collective article about sightings in Argentina, the 1963-1964. And I want to refer to one particular one in the first instance that occurred in Madrid on February the 7th, 1966. Apparently, someone saw a person indeed called Senor Jordan, saw a flying saucer touch down, and after a few seconds it took off, vanishing in the sky at great speed. And when they inspected the area where it touched down, they said the ground appeared to have been burnt, and it was reported that it was an orange-coloured disc, and just momentarily, Senor Jordan saw a door that started to open and then quickly closed again. Now, his report of this very brief sighting is interesting because it happened when he was driving along and he suddenly saw this enormous disc rising from the ground. And he said, I repeat, it was enormous, that is to say, enormous in contrast to what I had been expecting to see. Its diameter must have been not less than 30 to 40 foot. It was so affected by the sight that I can still remember even now. For some minutes afterwards, my tongue remained dry and biscuity. What shook me was not so much its great size as its astonishing luminosity. It would be more exact if I compared it with the brightness of those fluorescent paints used on road signs, but much more vivid and intense. And it is noted that there were no lights in the vicinity that could have caused this luminosity. He said it gave out a steady, muffled sound that reminded him of the hum of some of the electricity-generating turbines. And he said the takeoff was steady and uniform and was extremely fast. And he threw himself out of the car so I was able to be to watch it. And he said, I admit my legs were trembling. I very much regret that the powerful shock I had experienced prevented me from noticing details, dazed as I was by the astonishing sight. He said, I noticed just one outstanding detail apart from the support legs. That was that in the centre of the disc, that is, the belly or lower part, seemed to be what I imagine could have been a vent or escape holes for gases. And three big points stuck out from the machine, almost certainly forming the vortices of an equilateral triangle. And he said, I'm certain of this. And also many witnesses declared that they saw the marks that were left equidistant, some 20 feet from each other. And apparently these legs, or what were referred to as landing gear, ended in small squares or rectangles, which were also luminous. He said that when he made a drawing of the disc, he had to confess that he had not been sure at first whether his identification was correct. But he drew it as a sort of triangle with curved sides. Now, the interesting thing is that he also drew the underside and showed what he referred to as the vent or escape holes for gases. And I'm sure that this is the second time I've seen this sign on the underside of a UFO, and it's doubtful, in fact, whether it is for the reasons he stated. But what it comprises of is like half an upturned circle with a straight line between it, and then the lower part with a downturned half circle. And I've got a feeling, I may be wrong on this, and I haven't researched it, that it might have been on the craft that was at Sirocco. Certainly, I seem to recall that did have a marking. Anyway, that's that one there, quite interesting. I'll just read you a couple more out of the other Argentinian sightings. The first one I'll refer to was 1963, and hundreds of people saw it and said that it lit up the night sky as if it were daylight. And some witnesses said it was as bright as hundreds of mercury gas lamps all combined. And the sighting created quite a sensation, and details were revealed later. And one particular woman who was in a car with her mother-in-law and husband were driving along when they saw in front of them an intensely luminous, almost spherical object, which they said was moving about up and down, as though dancing. And the Flying Saucer Review mentioned that this is the famous ballet dance of which both Amy Michael and Jack Sally have spoken. Anyway, these people stopped the car, imagining that they were perhaps suffering from a hallucination or optical illusion, but the dance still went on. And so it continued until they reached a certain place nearby. And they said, when the object moved upwards, it expelled downwards a jet of thin sort of smoke, as though from an engine. They also said they could distinguish clearly two separate antennae projecting on the upper part of it. So, that was that one. A very short report. Apparently, Senor Shafrito de Gota of Salta had reported that at a place called Cotico, he had seen a flying saucer touch down briefly. It appeared to stand on a kind of pillar, which is apparently a feature mentioned in some other sightings. He said it gave out a blinding light, and near it, he just caught a glimpse of two figures moving about. I only mention one from Argentina that happened on September the 8th, 1964, and this was seen by four businessmen claiming to have seen the UFO leaving or entering the sea. Now, whatever happened is they immobilised their car, and that, of course, is not an unusual feature. And these men saw a huge shining object, which they said with what looked like a chimney on top, and it was stationary in the sky towards the coast. And after they had watched it for 3 minutes, it began to approach, giving off a vivid fluorescent light, red on top, yellowish at the base, and these colours changed intermittently to blue and violet. And the object came to within an estimated distance of 3 kilometres to them, and they said appeared to be like the planet Venus, but 6 or 7 times as large. So there we are. Very active times in the 60s. I don't know if anybody could actually prove one way or the other whether there are more sightings now. There could be. It is perhaps the fact that we don't take as much notice of them, and perhaps they're not so newsworthy anymore. Well, now I come to my ET file, as I call it. Nothing really new on that, but what I found amongst my collection of articles was one that I wanted to quote a bit from, because it went back to the times of a magazine called Eagle's Wings. And unfortunately, the article isn't dated as such, but I think this was issued in the mid-1990s, and what I wanted to quote was the answer to a question given by these Syrians. That is the same people that's channeled through Sheldon Neidel. And the question that they were asked is there any project from the command to contact the authorities of our planet regarding the Earth changes, as for instance, the United Nations? And if there is, would you please give us some information on how it is going? Well, I thought this would be interesting, and the reply went as follows. We are arriving from Antares to take you with us to our cosmic platform situated at 32 light years from Earth. We welcome you on board our ship. Our staff today is composed by 7 members, and I am the leader of the Antarian crew. My name is Mir. That's interesting, isn't it? He's addressing, evidently, someone called Suris. And he goes on to say, our military research has been confronting one of the most incredible facts of human history. Your view of the planet is totally isolated from the cosmic brotherhood of light, which, to supply spiritual nourishment to everyone within your galaxy, takes on that responsibility, and that our military research has treated your human case as an exceptional position of isolation. Our understanding of the symptoms which it represents is that your planet is not able to attend to our call to cooperate with our plan to rescue mankind. Therefore, our effort of negotiation has been intensified. Our commandant in Antares is expecting new opportunities to contribute with new efforts. Our arrangements subscribe many training programs for all those who volunteer themselves to assist during the changes. Alternatively, we are going to work with Intergalactic Help for some more needed assistance. Our military arrangements haven't progressed yet. The most remarkable convention was made with the Chinese government some 14 years ago, before the crisis of the communist government. Since then, our intents have been multiplied. However, the results do not suit our plan. A multinational convention has been proposed. The countries involved, Australia, Germany, Uzbekistan, and the Ukraine, haven't been able to negotiate within our aims. They do realize the danger you are facing. However, they think they are still a minority within the vast world. Yet we are insisting on an improvement of their position to a real negotiation in effective terms. Our assistance to those governments would be very much in accordance with their commitment to attain our agreement. Our next step is to try an evolutionary negotiation with all those who are to come under the leadership of those countries. But we cannot predict any result from this future event. Our main concern has been to stimulate a system of government which is based on non-armament, health priority, and non-profit. Our aim has not been recognized. Therefore, we cannot empower them for the changes. Our agreement seems to be seen as impossible because the world economy would collapse. Meanwhile, we are trying to convince them that it is possible to survive and create welfare independent of profits. Our challenge appears to be too big for them. And in concluding that short article, it is said, I acknowledge that our way to deal with this matter hasn't been successful yet, which is lamentable. We keep trying with all our efforts. And there's a footnote saying that Syrians call military research the result of their contacts and attempt at negotiation with the representatives of power on Earth. This is because whenever their space brothers contact civil authorities from the government to discuss Earth changes, they always transfer the contact to those who deal with security and war. But there we are, that's interesting. I think that First Contact and possibly Nassara are a development from those days. But isn't it interesting to know that some of the governments, perhaps all of the governments, have at different times been approached with an idea of joining the ETs in making this Earth a better place. So let's hope that First Contact and Nassara are very close to us as we begin to start this new year. I now come to general news, and doesn't appear to be too much this week. I get an independently printed newspaper that doesn't have great circulation called Positive News, and they collect their news from around the world, and I'm referring to their issue, which is for winter 2005, and there is an article there by Walter Cronkite, who's a former CBS TV news anchorman, and I just want to refer to one or two little bits in it, because what is happening is there is an international call for departments of peace in governments throughout the world. And this followed a two-day summit at the Houses of Parliament. And this was the first People's Peace Summit, which launched an international initiative for the creation of these departments of peace in governments throughout the world. And it said that the declaration was presented to a packed public meeting in the Grand Committee room, and it was hosted by an MP, John MacDonald. Now, I think that's a wonderful movement, and apparently the meeting was attended by people from 11 countries, and it was opened with a video of greetings from US Congressman Dennis Kucinich, and believe it or not, he was the originator of the concept. And I think that's wonderful. I haven't read of this effort that's been made and supported by Dennis Kucinich, but it confirms to me that he is a special man. Apparently it said that more than 60 members of Congress have now signed on to sponsor his bill, which is calling for a Department of Peace in the House of Representatives. And I think this quote is down to him saying, "We can conceive of peace as not simply the absence of violence, but the active presence of the capacity for a higher evolution of human awareness." And I think that's wonderful, and let's hope that starts to have a lot of success. There is an email going around at the moment reporting on what Stu Webb and Tom Flocko have said. It's edited by Scott Mowry. It only came out yesterday. And the only bits I really want to refer to in this are that apparently Flocko discussed several of the, what he calls, incredulous situations he has had to endure, in which his phone and internet services have been cut off on four separate occasions, immediately after posting one of his news stories to the web. And in one instance, after losing the phone service, he said his telephone company, Verizon, told him that squirrels had chewed through his line. And after calling for repair service, he asked if he was being targeted for investigation by the government. And they said, "We're not authorized to tell you." And then they said, "We're not required to tell you whether the United States government has put a phone tap on your line." And finally, what happened, he had to get Mr. Hennigan, his colleague, to call Verizon and threaten them and say, "If you keep doing this, you are going to appear before a grand jury." And apparently, Stu Webb also discussed the number of attacks that he has personally endured for over 21 years as a federal whistleblower. And he revealed that these attacks have come over his telephone lines in the form of electrocution shocks from microwaves as well as high frequency sound waves strong enough to puncture an eardrum, and that a computer and server hacks had completely destroyed his data and hard drives. And in addition, he has also been harassed continuously by black helicopters that have hovered over his places of residence on numerous occasions throughout the years. And they Webb said of his partner, "Look at Tom Hennigan. Every time he goes on the radio, they bring a helicopter over him immediately." The report goes on a little bit further, and there's one final item I just quote. And he said, "When we get more indictments, and we know we're going to get more indictments, but we don't know when they're coming, when this next group of indictments comes along, and it looks like it will be after the first of the year, the public is going to move when they see more indictments, he predicted. There we are. We don't hear much about the indictments at the moment, but Stu Webb and his friend Flocco seem to think something will happen perhaps early in the new year. Now, that's all I have on the actual, what I call general news. So I will now refer to some other messages that have come through, and I'll take some of the current ones. So I've got a stack of older ones that I can work into if I need them. And there was a very brief one that came my way over the email from the Kirail site. And he gives out, I believe it is, a monthly photon energy forecast. And he does this through the mediumship of Kahu Fred Sterling. I just wanted to pick up on the fact that he said the beginning of the new year brings the energy of great change, and it's a creator month at the beginning of an eighth cycle. That is, the adding up the numbers of 2006 obviously equals eight. And he said that you will find massive awakening to a higher plane of consciousness. All should be looking forward to changes as they have never seen. And he concludes this greeting by saying, celebrate the beginning of the new year by exploring the depth that can be achieved in quality meditation practice. Here you will be given an insight into working with this all-powerful photon energy. So there you are. There was one article that came through a couple of days ago. It comes through a site that calls itself Heaven, and the subject was called The Way to Heaven. I don't want to quote much from it, but it's interesting nevertheless. It says, and this is a quote given by God, let a birthday celebration such as Christmas become a daily celebration. Let it extend the whole year, so when Christmas Day comes round again, it is merely a continuation of the memorable day before. Let there be no bump in the year. Let it flow smoothly from love. What else should life flow from? What else makes sense? Once appreciation for life overwhelms you, what else can you do but love? All you have to do is to accept the love in your heart, once and for all, and not be baked with it. Even if you have denied the love in your heart previously, love will stir from your heart now. I thought that was a nice part of the message, worth mentioning. As it happens, I have a second message. This one's come from a source called Diwali, and it is the subject, what is the holiday time about for you? And this came out also a few days ago, and this is again God quoting and saying, and this is talking about December the 26th, that today is a holiday for many in the world. It was a day of joy, jubilation, a day for family and friends and faith. God wants to say today that in many parts of the world, Christmas has taken on a different meaning. It is a time to join together in harmony all of my children on earth. It's a time to remember what you have to be grateful for. And he says that the gift that you can give in this season is your love. It is about joining with others and celebrating life. If you forget the religious connotation to this holiday, then you have lost its meaning. And looking a little bit further on in the message, it says, let the giving begin with the giving of yourself and your love and compassion for all. Let Christmas be the celebration of love, yet also know that every day is Christmas, for God wishes you to celebrate love every single day of the year. Again, that's a very nice sentiment and one worth remembering. I also have a channeling that came originally from Valerie Donner through a being called Myra from the Palladian High Council. And again, I'll just simply read out extracts which I think are worth mentioning. And it says that there is so much activity going on within you at deep cellular level that it should not surprise you to see it in the physical as well. It is a combustible situation, you might say. When things combust, it means that they break away and create new form. If you always had everything going your way, it might not fit into what is for the benefit of the many. It is about transmutation, transformation, and clearing the path for the way of life. Take hold upon your planet. You are seeing the breakdown of the old systems and feeling it more intensely than ever of how these things have not served you. It is something to behold. Goes on to say, review what is happening within your own emotional being. Can you see how you are delving into deeper truths and what you are finding to be completely self-evident? Can you see how this process, although challenging, is freeing? It demands you know your truth. This is the truth upon which decisions are made. It is what you need to free yourself for the next level of unfoldment. It is your work at present. It will simply not allow you to bury issues that you need to release or with which you must deal. Even if you choose not to do this at this time, you are being forced to face it. The issues will become more obvious so that you can focus and resolve what is outstanding. There is no room at the fourth or fifth dimensional inns for these seemingly weighty burdens. And again, it goes on to say, you have projects ahead of value and merit. Your true works are in the offing. This time, you are being called upon to step into your new roles. You are being called on the carpet of light, so as you skirt over the shadowy darkness of the diminishing third dimensional energies, you will know you are on the path. This means you are freeing yourselves once and for all. Accountability and responsibility will be right there for you to assume. You are rising above the third dimension and seeing how the light is shining on it. The light is shining on you. You need to receive and own this light. It is there for you. Do not get bogged down in these dense energies. And I'll finally quote, in the next few weeks you will find some stability returning in your lives for a little while. Then another wave of ascension material will take you for a ride. When you go with the flow, like your wave rides to surface, you will find a more enjoyable time of it. There we are, more encouragement. Now come to another message that came out by the email service on the same day. And this came from the source of an email address, Loving Light, and it's a message from Mother Mary, which was talking of the gifts of the Christmas angels. And again, I'll just quote a little bit from it, and it starts off by saying that during the year, the angels collect deeds that reflect the high thoughts of love and compassion. These deeds contain a power in their very nature to transform not only the receiver, but the world is broadcasted back to Earth. This is what happens when one requests the angelic Christmas gifts. The angelic realm is sharing with you the interplay between the call to action and the deed itself. You are given the strength to endure the suffering and setbacks that you have discovered in your everyday life. What we mean by that is, as one travels on the stage of life, there are struggles, or as we see it, a calling to perfection. That perfection grows more difficult to obtain as one steps up through the rules of initiation. Initiation is simply plateaus where if one keeps striving towards their spiritual goals, they receive gifts. And then these are numbered in the following way. One, gifts of recognizing truth in all that is exposed to you. This means people and events. Two, seeing into the other realms. Three, hearing those on the other side. Four, physical safety through sensing danger as you work with your angels. 5, having the spiritual hierarchy interacting with you and working on your behalf. And 6, understanding self-worth along with humility, that we are all created equal in the sight of God, and humility is understanding how precious our life is along with how precious others are also. 7, prosperity, both in friends and fortune. And finally, most importantly, 8, opening your heart to love and compassion. One will not ascend without this gift. Very well, that's a short and sweet message there from Mother Mary. Where are we? I've got a few minutes still left. One came out also within the last few days, which originated from the site, which is the Maitreya. And the message from the Maitreya was headed Honesty. And I quote the following: most of you live in a life where you are neither true to yourselves nor to others. You do things because you fear that you might upset others. It is easier to say yes than to say no. So many of you live lives you're not happy with. You hate your job, but you stay because of fear of moving, fear of change, fear of this and fear of that. If only you would trust and have faith, all that is meant to be will come to you. You have to set a destiny for yourself, and if you are true to yourself and do not have fear, all that is meant to pass can come into your life. Yes, you have lessons to learn, and you and you alone set up those lessons. You can take the easy road to accomplish those lessons and to move on, or you can follow another harder path. That was an extract from that message. Again, I thought that was interesting. I have an extract from another message which came from the Quantum Awakening site. And this was a message from Sananda. And I thought again there were some interesting comments in this one. And he said, you and only you can make the shift. Humanity is but a band-aid held in place by its own belief system. You cannot fool the quantum nor yourself. Be honest and know where you want yourself to go. As long as you hold on to struggle as a life raft, it will only let you drift in the seas of despair. You are the captain of your fate, master of your soul. As long as you think everything is affecting or affecting you, it will be. Change your thinking, change your life. Know that ye are God, and nothing can change that. And as he goes on to say, strip away what frightens you. Look deep within the crevices of your soul to see why this music of fear plays in your heart. Why you have not received the love that awaits your every caress. You look for a rescuer, one who will ride in upon his mount with speed of steadfastness and swoop you up from the very life that you have created. Even in this fantasy, there is a fear of being dropped, let go, abandoned, without a thought. No, dear child, I am you as you are me, and we cannot ever be abandoned, for we are one at the heart and the hip, in whatever form we take. What you seek is not monetary security, nor love, nor wisdom, but it is the knowing that I am there unbending, unfettering, standing in the light and the shadows of your experience. And I give you that truth through this day. I am all of your experience, not only what you define as the good. It can be no other way. Look for my reflection in the smoothness and fullness of your tears. In this experience of life, you have chosen to learn to manifest from the very dust you walk upon. You wanted to remember how to make a silk purse out of a sow's ear with no help from anyone. Now you ask for that missing piece of the puzzle, seeking my counsel, my signs, my message. You think that something is missing, broken, lost within you. But dear child, I knew it would come to this intersection one day, and I lovingly hid within you the missing piece that you seek. The keys to the kingdom of heaven on earth lies within. Seek thou own counsel, heaviness in their hearts as they stand back as you instructed in your departure from the heavenly realm. Love you are, love you will be, love you can be, nothing else. Do not seek to be loved, seek to be loved. Very nice, that's a lovely message, isn't it? That was one from Samantha. Now, I have another, I think, shortish one here. I'm just looking to see how many pages I've marked up. Well, I can extract whatever I can in the time I have left. And this was one that came from, where are we? Yes, from a site that is called What's Up on Planet Earth. I haven't got the lady's name in front of me at the moment, although I can see her photograph on the on this print that I'm looking at. Anyway, apparently these energy alerts, as they are called, are offered several times per month, and you can view them on that particular site. And we say that this article, which came out on the 28th of January, was decided to be published as an article for January the 1st, because the energy shifted. Apparently, she says that the backup booster rockets are firing, readying us for a big catapult into a new reality in January. We are finished with the integration and decision-making process at the high levels as to our new positions in the new world, and the next phase is beginning. That will get us now. And she highlights 2006, saying, the year of manifestation. Our time has come. We have reached critical mass, and the ball is in the court of the light workers. We will be supported in oh so many ways as we are now ready to create the world. We are moving from one reality into another. This is a monumental and amazing event. And we end up with a recap mentioned in that January will mark the beginning of the new world. And I will now quote a short paragraph. During the last week of December 2005, much was being aligned at higher soul levels, and that we may have experienced this time as one of confusion, not really knowing or sensing what we wanted to do or what with certain things. And she said, it may have created a feeling of being lost or disconnected. And this was because you were disconnected. Disconnected from one reality as you are ready to enter another. And you may have felt lonely. You may have felt that you did not belong anywhere. And that there was not a place that currently existed that you might have wanted to go to. And she says, this is because we can no longer tolerate the old creation and are really ready to create the new, higher ways of living and being. And I will conclude my short comments, what was quite a long article actually, saying that for highly sensitive and psychic individuals, these times of great transition and rebirth can be quite challenging. The trick is to trust and let go. Just as if you were dying in the old way of the 3D, it always helps to trust, let go and surrender. We all have many non-physical beings and ascension guides around us who are always there to assist and monitor this amazing and miraculous process. We are never alone, even though many times it may feel that we are. There we are. Thank you, my friends. My time is up, and I will say thank you for being with me. I do hope that you all are looking forward to an exciting new year, because I think that is indeed what it will be, and it will fulfill our expectations, as many messages have now confirmed. I would say goodbye to you. See you next year. God bless you all.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.